This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are in conversation, of course, with the academic, political analyst and public service commission chair, Professor Somadota. Dr. Somadota Fikeni. Let me just correct that, of course. But of course, we're here to talk about a political issue, and it's a take on a conversation that we had yesterday with Mac Maharaj. And I'm so glad I have Dr. Somadota Fikeni with me in this particular conversation, because if you listened to yesterday's conversation, Mac would now be a veteran, and those veterans talking to the old and also to the new. And so, yes, let's bring in this conversation. Dr. Somadota Fikeni, how are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
I'm very good, sir. I had Mac Maharaj in the building yesterday.
Yeah.
And Mac Maharaj talking about the veterans and their age group and what they had gone through, and specifically, you know, the kind of sacrifices also, and then also quite emotional about, you know, the sort of personal experiences he would have gone through, talking about traumatized and broken, to the extent, Somadota, that he says, you know, when we took over in 1994, we were broken and we were traumatized, and that there has to be a sort of understanding of that. Of course, he says there were organizations within, you know, the country already, but most people who either were returning and or came back from Robben Island were of a particular nature. And we were using the term traumatized and broken. Now, I want to bring you into the conversation, because you've made a particular interesting speech where you begin to equate or begin to talk almost of the then and the now. Let's talk about that. What was so different for you way back then that you actually had to sit down and pen something, you know, and make an equivalent of what we have now in the leadership space?
Well, in the first place, if you go back to the leaders, like John Langalibalele Dube, you talk of Luthuli, Lillian
even Moise, even further back,
Charlotte Maxeke, and even further back, Nelson Mandela, O.R. Tambo, and Abo Winnie Madikizela Mandela. Those are leaders who were based in their communities. If there was a school board meeting, they were there. An agricultural, you know, meeting and farming, they were farmers, some of them. And many other things within the community, the social life of the community, they were part of it. And that made them to be organically linked to that community and better articulate their problems. Because that is what they were also experiencing. And when they took up the struggle, there was no prospect of any other thing but the risk to fight for their communities. Then fast forward. Today, some people plan and plot that I want to be a politician. And they become career politicians. They will collect a manifesto there. They will train themselves on what to say, when, how, during the campaign, during the branch meeting. And they rise through the ranks. And the level of alienation from the very people that they say they are representing has actually grown. So you begin to have a social distance. The level of materialism that you find on a number of leaders who are more concerned about surviving in the positions, being favored by the party to be deployed. And they have mastered the art of pleasing the political leadership or the elite that will deploy than the constituency that they will service.
But that political elite would be of the same ilk, wouldn't it? Because yes, that political elite would not be of a generation before. It would be someone who can see someone like themselves.
In fact, what is most painful here is that even the residual generation before, let's say those who came from exile, some of them have actually embraced the very same temptation and materialistic lifestyle. And some have even used the very notion of having been in exile, having been in prison, as a reason to jump the queue and be favored. And that makes them a liberation aristocracy. And yet, if the principles that were espoused, you look at them very closely, they ought not to use their positionality and their history as a reason to jump ahead. Let me give you one example as to why sometimes that become quite a problem when they talk of a tried and tested. You find that a person who says, I was in exile, I attended Morogoro Conference, 1969, or I was there in the 70s, that person must be in an advanced age by now. You give that person a position, and you expect that person to lead in discussions around metaverse, fourth and fifth industrial revolution, innovations, needs of the youth who have become a majority. It just doesn't work out. But generally, it is the alienation of today's leadership and them being insulated in a life of their own. They will consult more amongst themselves, and they'll reinforce each other as to what the reality is out there, and what defense could be presented to those who are raising issues, rather than being humble enough to go to those communities, sometimes for a listening session rather than a lecturing session.
So, Madota, let me ask you this. You raise an important point that I've, in my observations also has become something I've noticed, is when people begin to throw their credentials in front of you, is it because, and you could argue and correct me here, is it because what you need to have established has not been done in the role that you were given? And so the only throwback to your relevance would be something that suggests I was in exile, I was in MK, I was in APLA, and I fought and I know how to use a weapon. And so that is my relevance. And so then you do not then judge the person or the individual on the role and the aspect and the objectives to which they have been assigned presently, and or before, depending on how long they've been ministers. Is it not something of a crutch that they do because of the failure that they do not have the ability to speak of their achievements?
That's, you've got your finger on the pulse, because when people no longer have a clear, credible answer to why they have not delivered on today and why they fail to have an imagination for tomorrow, then they will use the rearview mirror to say, do you know who I am? But even in that particular test, to say I was in the struggle, we must always begin to distinguish between the message and the messenger. The message being the values, the principles, the goals of the liberation. The messenger being the person who articulate these and their life as to whether it is still based on those values. You often find that these are at variance. Because the only way you could throw back and say, I was in this struggle I sacrificed and so forth, is to say, I'm still holding on to those values. That's why you should trust me at the very least. But even on that account, you find a person has been in prison and exile or has been in the struggle. But yet, when it comes to corruption, they are no different, which means they have alienated themselves from the very values of the struggle, which were quite noble and genuine, and therefore should be measured harshly precisely because of the betrayal of those values. So you'll find, for example, I'll use this example quite guidedly. I was wondering when, of course, the cold-blooded murderer like Janusz Walus is finally, you know, on the verge of being released.
I think seven days now.
Yes. You saw the anger, the emotion. And in my mind, I tried to wake up Chris Hani to say, the leader like Chris Hani, what could have made him angrier? Would it be the release of a person who killed him as a martyr? Or would it be the betrayal of the very liberation when people steal? What do you think would have angered him most? But you don't see the same emotions when people say public purse has been looted. And yet we know for a fact that during his lifetime, Chris Hani detested this. And he even challenged the leadership in exile when he said they were living a lavish lifestyle, were here to fight, better to die, and so forth. Then you see that people have appropriated the very liberation narrative, hollowed out its contents, weaponized it to their advantage.
So then, Somadota, it makes a mockery, if and you help me here too, it makes a mockery then of this often repeated statement that says the ANC has been, and I'm talking of like an ANC person now, the ANC has been infiltrated by these individuals, new individuals who do not have the interests of the party at heart and who do not know the ANC, and they have come in and they are corrupt. When in fact, we have seen, as you point out, that a lot of those who actually come from the liberation camps and have returned as elders are some of the very, very same individuals who are involved in state capture, for example. These are not new individuals. Some of the names mentioned at state capture, for example, speak directly to people who were in exile. So this mantra, this often repeated statement that, you know, we have been infiltrated and we need to remove them from our ranks, it's really, really, you know, a mockery of what's going on. It's an eye blinder. It's a diversion.
Indeed, that's hoodwinking people who are not paying much attention to detail. I did my master's degree studying exile and the return of SWAPO of Namibia. And during that time, naturally, I had to look at a number of liberation organizations, including the ANC as well, for comparative analysis. I realized then, and confirm now, that some of corrupt elements were there in exile. But some had nothing to steal if you are left in a bush. But once given an opportunity, the who they were comes out in full force.
It's the same person.
It's the same person, but different opportunities. And it is those people who will then weaponize, capture the very narrative of liberation That's why these days when a person talks revolution, they talk National Democratic Revolution, they talk of betrayals, they talk of enemy forces, they talk of radical change. Be careful, because people in nowadays say what they don't mean. They mean what they don't say. And they've mastered the language of hypnotizing the unsuspecting listeners who are desperate, looking for answers and salvation. And sounding sometimes radical is quite fashionable. Because indeed, people compressed with all the challenges they face, they would like relief. They would like instant salvation. And those people then are no different from the prosperity gospel churches which crop up and people promise instant delivery. And they are no different from people who put up notices next to the taxi ranks which says, I am a herbalist or a traditional healer who will make you recover the lost lover in one day, who will fix your marriage in 24 hours. It's the same kind of thing of a predatory attitude towards people who are battered on all sides.
What did they call them way back in the Western world?
Is it the oil snake or what?
Selling oil snake. Yes, you know.
Slippery on all levels.
Absolutely.
But it is for that reason that all barometers, attitudinal surveys have shown that the credibility of political leaders, the political class at large, because this problem has gone beyond just the ruling party, has gone down so much that even during elections, many people don't even bother to participate because the believability and the credibility and legitimacy crisis is so deep. When people see the leaders getting richer and the business elite getting richer and they have common cause and their situation is getting worse, what is expanding sometimes are explanations.
Dr. Somadotta, in about a minute and a half, Mac Maharaj says, when he looks at the present crop of and the present generation of politicians, he sees them as careerists, and he sees them ultimately finding a job so that they could, of course, you know, like Denzel Taylor would go and find a job, they would look at also finding a job, but in the political space. And they would also, being human beings, enrich themselves in that particular space. That's the new politician we have, because he's looking like a business person at the kind of opportunities that are there for him to enrich himself. If a business person looks at his business opportunities and looks at what he can do to enrich himself, so too equal then is the politician in his particular role. So if Mac Maharaj equates it to that, how deep in trouble then are we?
We are in trouble, and that's what defines the political leadership crisis that we see in many levels. And I'll put it this way. We have political tenderpreneurship. It's not even entrepreneurship. And how this actually structurally is a problem is that a person who looks at himself or herself and say, I can't make it in the business world as an entrepreneur, a genuine entrepreneur. I can't make it in the professional world. Then they see the bar is so low, the entry threshold for politics, and yet the returns are so high. Then they go for that. And you find that the eye of the needle that used to be used as a framework of getting good leaders within the ruling party, either the eye has widened or the needle has been stolen. One of the two has happened, because when you look at some of the people who rise in their communities, in their branches, which are often created close to some election and then they die thereafter, you find that it's a person whose credentials sometimes, it's a person who is known for maximum disruption in a particular community, a person who has inflicted so much pain. And precisely because of that, they then are able to rise, some of them even cheating along the way and putting their names in, going throughout the night, lobbying and so forth. And that is the kind of a leader that you are going to have, and the kind of a leader that will loot very fast, knowing that their time is almost up. But when you say to that leader, in the next election, we're going to remove you from the list, and they see that there are no prospects of them succeeding anywhere else, either they loot very fast, or you start seeing political killings.
So, Modota, let's leave it there, sir. So, Modota Fikeni, Dr. Somadota Fikeni, thank you so much, sir, for joining me on Power Perspective tonight.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Well, that's the conversation on the then politician and the now politician.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.